60 years, that signature musical sting was a clarion call to dudes of all ages to shoot their cuffs, straighten their cummerbund, holster their walther, and prepare to hang with the God of Cool, James Bond 007. Not anymore. James Bond is not only dead, his legacy has been destroyed. How did this happen? And where will red-blooded guys turn for a truly cool character with whom they can crack wise, chug a martini, bet a babe, or punch out a punk? Where will women go to escape doughy, hypersensitive, whining soy boys with teensy tiny tea levels? Hang on, and we'll deal with this dilemma.
The Safari Park.
You're killing me, Larry!
Larry. Fucking Larry.
Larry from That Larry Show.
For men with balls.
Take off your pants.
Larry, get into bed now.
Larry.
Larry.
Larry. Larry.
You're on, Larry! Larry!
Larry! If you need a dose of cool, you better look elsewhere, because according to the most recent 007 movie, before Bond died, and yes, he dies at the end of the film, but before killing him, they must have castrated him. So maybe as he stood on the bad guy's island while missiles rained down on him, it was really a mercy killing. Isn't Bond better off dead than uncool? The pussification of the character by the producers. Well, that means a lot more than them demolishing a cash cow that has thrilled audiences and raked in billions at the box office. It has repercussions throughout the zeitgeist of Western civilization. And it sends a clear signal to the East that the West is now in a steep, fast decline. You can bet those producers focus group the shit out of everything, and that those groups mirrored the demography of moviegoers, the bulk of which are 18 to 29-year-olds. After that, the numbers fall off a cliff. Considering what our fucked-up PC culture has done to people in that age bracket, they probably do not like their father's James Bond. To them, he may be an awful person.
When his words don't work, he turns to violence, gun violence. He drives fossil-fueled cars in a reckless manner without any concern for the environment. He kisses women without asking their permission. He operates without seeking approval from his betters or garnering consensus from the group.
The original Bond operated with autonomy. Whatever the challenge was, he faced it alone and dealt with it. If he was licensed to kill, well, of course, he was also licensed to insult, taunt, maim, vandalize, intimidate, threaten, throttle, bomb, set ablaze, sabotage, and seduce. Whatever the fuck it took to get the job done. Imagine having that kind of freedom where you work. A set piece in every Bond movie was Q, walking Bond through the latest gadgets he'd be equipped with on his mission. These ran the gamut from armored automobiles with machine guns, oil slicks, and ejector seats to lethal wristwatches, fountain pens, a helicopter and a suitcase, jetpacks, and more. To Bond, they were toys he fucked around with, which pissed off Q, who was flawlessly played by crusty Englishman Desmond Llewellyn. Q's role was as gadget master and to berate Bond for destroying his beloved gadgets. It was a great chemistry. Q's sexuality, whatever it was, added nothing to the story, so it wasn't explored or revealed. In the latest Bond movie, the new Q discloses that he is gay. Why? It doesn't advance the plot or add anything to the story, but okay, just shoehorn it in there. And while you're at it, how about a scene with Bond at the podiatrist treating an ingrown toenail? Moreover, Q's technology now upstages Bond. As he wanders the globe, the new Q magically monitors his every move, telling him whether to turn left or right when the bad guys are sneaking up behind him. So Bond is reduced to a wireless marionette in Q's video game. How ignoble. In every Bond movie, he'd bed two or three women, but fall only for one. And she was always impossibly hot and a cut above her competitors in looks and myriad skills. The hottest of all time was smoldering Honor Blackman, who almost kicked Bond's ass with her judo throws and Goldfinger. What a way to torque up the sexual tension, In No Time to Die, there are only two female interests. One is a slinky brunette secret agent. Does she hook up with 007? No. Bond accompanies her to a party, like a big brother taking his sister to the prom because nobody asked her. This is sick. The other is a rather ordinary blonde who happens to be the mother of his toddler daughter. No, no, no. James Bond is not a dad ever. That is secret agent canon law. Some women might be smitten by seeing a dude change a diaper or push his kid in a stroller, but to teenage boys from 13 to 30 and beyond, that is torture. Heresy. And we're not even getting into the more PC shit. By the way, I knew the movie would suck, so I waited until it was streaming on Amazon Prime. And I still want that 2 hours and 43 minutes of my life back. Maybe it was less than that. I did fall asleep for several intervals. The neutering of 007 is a symptom of a cultural malaise that portends the demise of Western civilization. Ian Fleming's James Bond character was birthed by war. Before he was a secret agent, he was a naval officer. Before he had a number, he had a title, Commander Bond. In fact, what he was the world's coolest, slickest warrior from World War II to the Cold War and beyond. As Ukraine and the rest of the planet recently discovered, war will never go out of style. The trend began when Kane bashed Abel's skull in with his plowshare, and it will not end until Gabriel blows his horn. Imbeciles believe otherwise, the same imbeciles who love to repeat that quotation about beating swords into plowshares. Do they see the irony? Gangs and tribes, otherwise known as nations, will always be invading others for territory, oil, gold, better-looking women, or the sheer joy of destroying and subjugating other people. That behavior is genetically encoded into primates, from mandrills to men. That's right, men. Women, not so much. An integral part of human male behavior is a propensity toward violence. And thank God for that. Because any nation devoid of men who are ready, willing, and able to kill, well, that's a nation that's doomed. The technocrats, who are probably 99% feminized males, they deny this and attempt to prove their point with the drones and smart bombs and precisely guided missiles. But we had all that techno junk in Iraq and Afghanistan, didn't we? Somehow, all that glorious hardware and software could not get the job done. And flesh and blood men still had to kick in doors with Mossberg pumps and paint the walls with hair and blood, didn't they? Yes, they did. No matter how governments try to sanitize war and conflict, they never will. Thanks to the Ukraine circus, war has been normalized for this generation. And the idiot populace roots and cheers for the war, like mindless trained monkeys, which is what they are. This was achieved with the greatest of ease because the legacy media is fully controlled by government. We no longer see the real horror of war to which we were treated during Vietnam. GIs' heads impaled on pikes in the jungle, people on fire running until they drop. rotting corpses on the roadside being picked at by crows, body bags piled up like cordwood. And after seeing those sickening images every night on local TV news on Channel 5 in New York, well, then they played the honor roll. They would play taps or some funereal music and do a slow crawl of the names of the guys in the tri-state area who were freshly killed in Vietnam. Sometimes pictures of them smiling in their dress uniforms would pop up on the screen. If you didn't know the guy himself, you might know his extended family. It was really hard to watch. Those newscasts brought the repugnance of war right into everyone's living room. Because of those newscasts, there was a massive pushback against that war, which in typical sleazebag government politician style was never formally declared a war. They called it a police action. So technically, 58,000 American policemen died there, but not one of them wore a badge. It was the first televised war and the last one. During World War II, footage was all on film, and that was easy for Uncle Sam to control. Government learned its lesson from Vietnam. Keep a fucking lid on the blood and guts. Keep war romantic and glamorous and altruistic and safe. There's been no real war footage since Vietnam. Sure, yeah, CNN showed Wolf Blitzen on a Baghdad balcony watching mortars and tracer rounds fly through the night sky. But do you recall watching any GIs bleed out on the desert sand as they screamed for their mother and Jesus? No? Your government made damn sure those scenes remained unseen. You have to wonder how many with Ukrainian flags on their Twitter profiles would keep them there if they got a good look at some of the carnage that we're told is occurring there. You never see splattered bodies, either Russian or Ukrainian, do you? Just bombed out buildings and bridges. That's not by accident. But we do see McConnell and Dr. Jill Biden and drunken mummy Pelosi and cabbage patch dollface Sean Penn and now Ben Stiller kissing Zelensky's ass like he's some kind of demigod. Check out the new viral video of Stiller coming through the doors into Zelensky's chambers. Stiller literally walks into the room with his hands folded as if in prayer. And then tells Zelensky,
"It's a great honor for me, and nice to see you. It's really wonderful. You're my hero."
It's a short video. Maybe further on, Stiller dropped to his knees. Another unseen scene. You never know. What makes Zelensky a hero? The only thing we can verify on his resume is that he's a failed comedian. He sold a villa in Italy for 4.5 million euros, and there's a persistent allegation that he also owns a $35 million crib in Miami. We also know that prior to the Russian invasion, Ukraine had one of the most corrupt governments in the world. Remember, it was a Ukrainian gas company paying Hunter Biden $83,000 a month for consulting services, finger quotes. The only experience Hunter has with gas is his own flatulence. Western culture has been on a feminizing mission now for decades, and that mission has achieved stunning results. Masculine behavior is, of course, toxic. According to the new Western cultural orthodoxy, men are raised and trained to be compliant and obedient and always seek consensus before acting on anything. This attitude has percolated up through law enforcement, hasn't it? Dozens of heavily armed SWAT guys stood around outside a school in Texas while a lone psycho punk killed at will because those cops were waiting for permission. Probably at least a few of those guys were rip shit furious and wanted to kick in the door and go in there and waste that shooter. 20 years ago, when tea counts were higher and little boys weren't being psychologically neutered by educators, one or more of those guys probably would have told their chicken shit commander to fuck off, then waded in and saved some lives. But no one did. Until some mystery guys took care of business. But you may have noticed that their names are not mentioned. We don't know who they are. If you plug in "Who Shot Salvador Ramos" to your favorite search engine, which for me, by the way, is no longer DuckDuckGo, they're as corrupt as the rest of them, you will get pages and pages about the shooter, but jack shit about the guys who shot him. Why is that? Nobody seems to know. What's up with that? Government, that's what. The gelding of James Bond and all men has had a disastrous effect on Western culture. To take it as far as they need, they've now redefined males and females according to their own psychotic lies. Men can get pregnant, women can have penises, and anyone can compete in any sport with anyone depending on how they identify. The repercussions of neutering men goes beyond men. It damages everyone of both sexes, and there are only two. It kills autonomy, individuality, excellence, and self-reliance. It promotes weakness, incompetence, mediocrity, compliance, and cowardice. The biggest concern of society is the replenishment of the essentials, food and energy. But the most essential commodity is people. Throughout much of Europe and Russia, birth rates continue to decline and populations are shrinking. Without the uncontrolled immigration into the U.S., our population would also shrink or be stagnant. Why would that be? It's the culture. Raise a generation or two of passive, compliant males, and the females will lose interest. Add a generation or two of females trained to regard males as stupid and inferior, and that the future is female, and what is the result? The future won't be female. There will be no future. The plan is working, and we're living in the dreadful results right now. Never in modern history has the world produced such weak, pathetic jokes of leaders. Justin Trudeau is a living cartoon of weakness, wokeness, incompetence, and hormonal imbalance. He should not be running a country. He should be running a quilting bee with tissue stuffed into the sleeve of his granny dress in case he wants to have a good cry. Bojo and Macron are made of the same gelatinous goo. And right here at home is the ultimate brain-addled buffoon whose fogged-in mind is set on permanent shuffle, parroting political platitudes and reliving battles he never fought with adversaries who never existed. So, nuke some corn pop or popcorn. Sit back and watch him try to perform like an arthritic Pomeranian in a dog and pony show, stumbling up staircases, falling off a motionless bike, mangling speeches, cursing out journalists, hissing with rage in people's faces. If Joey ever watched a Bond movie, it probably pissed him off because Bond would remind him of everything he is not. 60 years ago, we had a president who was a vocal and ardent 007 fan. Kennedy probably enjoyed Fleming's Bond because they had some things in common. JFK had been a naval officer and a legit war hero. He'd seen real combat, and he didn't have to invent battles with fictive bullies. He was a handsome, charismatic dude, a chick magnet his entire life. His hair and teeth were his own, not veneers and plugs. He had a stunning, elegant wife who didn't find the need to pretend to be a doctor. His children did not grow up to be degenerate crackheads. he faced down another Russian strongman who presented a real threat to America in Cuba. He did not prop up some foreign failed comedian with a murky background by stealing billions from taxpayers in the midst of a deep recession. Kennedy was incredibly articulate, probably the most of any president ever. His quips and ad-libs were world class. He was, by anyone's measure, brilliant. He was a visionary. It was on his orders that America eventually reached the moon. He was the closest thing we ever had to James Bond in the White House. So James Bond is dead, and the traits that made him so impossibly cool and entertaining have been declared toxic. But look who's making those declarations. Commies, assholes, punks, soy boys, and pukes. Will a hero rise to replace 007? One can only hope. Hey, thanks for hanging with me once again. It's always great to be with you. If you like what you just heard, slide over to thatlarryshow.com for hundreds more episodes. And if you really like what you heard, why not help me keep the show going? Click the Patreon or PayPal buttons and make a donation. Or if you prefer, there's a P.O. box standing by to accept your much appreciated largesse. I'll post that bizarre video of Stiller and Zelensky at thatlarryshow.com. I also explored the James Bond world in episode 211, How to Attain Timeless Cool. You'll find it in the September 2019 tab, also on the show page. And you know what? I never imagined Bond would be rendered obsolete so quickly. But that's where we are now. Write to me at thatlarryshow@gmail.com. I do everything myself. I have no writers or producers or engineers, so I may not reply quickly, but I always do reply, and I always enjoy hearing from you. My friends, we live in perilous times. We cannot all be James Bond, in truth. No one could be James Bond, but we can all emulate his spirit. The DNA of cool is the same as this show. It's non-compliance. I'll see you next Wednesday or thereabouts. And until that time, stand up, speak out, and take no shit.